COP26 will be a moment of truth, because we know that we are not on track yet to fight climate change. We are running against the time, against the clock. So we need action now in this decade. The second topic is a question of fairness, the so-called climate finance. The developed countries have promised to support with $100 billion per year the most vulnerable and least developed countries. And we have to make good on this promise.
Let's focus on the fairness one, because that is key. And actually, the G20 countries are responsible for 80% of the global greenhouse gas emissions. And yet, questions will also be asked and sacrifices will be asked of middle and low income countries. You mentioned the finance, which is obviously important. But shouldn't it go wider than that? Shouldn't it, for example, be at the heart of the foreign policy of the EU to try to alleviate the stresses that many of these countries are feeling?
The goal must be, on one hand, climate adaptation, to support developing countries in that. This is very important. And on the other hand, to support that the developing countries do immediately leapfrog into clean, sustainable, at best circular economies. And this is the big goal. And for that, we need not only finances, but we also need innovation. And this innovation also has to go to the developing countries.
The COP conference, obviously under the shadow of the pandemic, which is still raging, the numbers are contained in parts of Europe around the world, they're not. A lot of vaccines are being pledged. I know that you will be announcing a huge pledge by the EU. They're not being delivered, or certainly not delivered fast enough. Now, there's another proposal that says that actually what we should do is waive the patent of these vaccines, giving poorer nations the ability to produce their own vaccines. The EU does not support that proposal. But isn't that the answer, to give poorer nations the ability to help themselves?
I fully subscribe the goal to give the developing countries the ability to help themselves with vaccines. Therefore, we propose compulsory licensing, because waiving the patent doesn't bring you any manufacturing capacities. But compulsory licensing does that. And we have a second initiative. We invest $1 billion together with our African friends to bring mRNA technologies, the basis for the COVID vaccine, to Africa and to build up their manufacturing capacities.
Let's shift the focus to Afghanistan now. Now, the EU is planning to reopen its diplomatic mission in Afghanistan, which obviously it closed when the Taliban took over back in August. It's also announced, or I believe you will announce, a support package of just over $1 billion to help the Afghan people. You've specifically said the Afghan people should not pay for the actions of the Taliban. But of course, overall, EU development aid is still frozen because of the actions of the Taliban. What do you see the role of the EU being in Afghanistan right now?
The winter is coming, and therefore the European Union is leading the initiative to provide humanitarian aid plus, we call it. Also, for example, to support teachers or healthcare workers that they can do their job, because the banking system is basically broken down, so salaries are not being paid.
But I suppose it's that balance, obviously helping the Afghan people, but having to deal with the Taliban. It's just quite a difficult balance to strike, and I wonder how long it's sustainable for.
This should not be forever. This is for clear. This is for the crisis moment at the right now. And we are working, and that's very important, with the neighboring countries, creating a platform, because they are affected also too. But the most important right now is that the Taliban government has to show that they come up with their deeds following their words. So far, we haven't seen that.